As you might have noticed, looking at the bulletin, I am completing today my sermon series on growing in Christ-likeness. In the past several weeks, I talked about some of the marks of Christ's believers, such as love, humility, purity, honesty, and faith. And this morning, I'm going to add one more characteristic of Christ's believer, or another sign of growth in Christ, that is, good works. If anyone grows in Christ, the person must and naturally demonstrate good works in their lives. If you know someone who claims that I've been a Christian for a number of years, and if you don't see a sign of good works in their lives, then something is not right there. Growing up in Korea, I was educated in the public school system. In middle school, I remember we had a weekly civic duties class. I don't have the proper term. It just, we learned a lot about moral lessons. Not religiously based, but based on the teachings of Confucius. It's a Chinese philosopher, and of course Chinese culture influenced Korean culture and Japanese culture. I still remember a few lessons that I learned, such as honoring your parents is a big thing in Oriental culture, and respecting our teachers. If you're a school teacher, you love being in Korea. They respect the school teachers. And also obeying the government authorities. And looking back, I think it's a little more like a propaganda. And so on. Anyway, one of the things that I remembered, too, was do one thing good every day. In those days, I was, you know, about 13 years old, and I just tried to do one thing good a day without thinking or asking the question why I needed to. I simply followed the instructions from my teachers, reasoning if it weren't so good, they would not teach me, right? That kind of mentality. So I was just following whatever they taught me. And 40-some years later, however, looking back and after I ran into some biblical commands like today's readings we just read, I seriously began to look into good works, asking questions such as why? Why do we need to do good works? And what kind of works are considered good works? And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Now, before I dig deeper, though, let me define what I mean by good works. Good works, my favorite source of definition, is Oxford Dictionary says, are kind acts to help others. I think that's sufficient definition, good enough. But I like the definition from the Bible better. What are the good works, the Bible says? Things that are excellent and profitable to everyone. Let me repeat. Good works are the things that are excellent and profitable to everyone. Of course, such good works are always pleasing to God in heaven. So I begin with the question, why do we need good works after all? I studied some scriptures and I prayed for some for God's wisdom on this topic, and I'm about to share with you what I have discovered. The reasons, three reasons, why good works. Number one, good works are for our own good or for our own benefit. Now, everyone knows this. When we do acts of kindness for others, it always makes us feel good about ourselves, doesn't it? However, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. To make us feel good about ourselves is not the reason why we strive to do what is good. Rather, here's what I mean when I said it is good for our own benefit or good, because good works help us to stay away from doing bad things. You knew that, right? Yeah, everyone knows that. Good works help us to stay away from doing bad things. Good works prevent our selfish nature from further degenerating. Good works, in my humble opinion, are the antidote to evil. And this is how it works. When you and I do something good for others, it shifts our focus from ourselves to others. Have you noticed that? It also keeps us from living a self-centered life. Of course, unless you do the good for your own benefit or for your own image, rather than serving others. Good works always serve as a positive reinforcement in our moral life. They work far better than, in my humble opinion, doing nothing bad against others. To me, doing nothing bad is sort of a passive approach. You see, doing something good versus doing nothing. Imagine that you try to keep your boat floating in the middle of the ocean on the same spot. I'm sure if you ever operated the boat, you know what I'm talking about. Unless the boat is anchored down, of course, before you know it, the boat will be pushed away by the waves. Same principle applies to our moral condition, both personally and corporately. Left alone, like the boat in the ocean, our selfish nature will take us further away from God, and our moral standards will degenerate by the worldly influences. Good works, however, like an anchor, keep us from being drifted away from God, and good works along with personal holiness are one of the best offenses against moral decay in our society. I'm sure you heard of the expression before, the best offense is always the best defense. Good works are good for us because they keep us close to God. Of course, the second reason why we need good works is because good works are good for others around us. I don't need to explain this one. When we do something good for others, people benefit and they profit from our good deeds. Good works always benefit the recipients. A third reason, and the most important reason, is this. Good works are good for the Lord in heaven. If I use the little fancy word here, good works are for God's glory. When we, the children of God, do the good, it always pleases our Heavenly Father. Think with me, why do you think God has created us? There could be many reasons, but let me tell you one reason. God's scripture clearly says God created us, you and me, in Christ for good works. Did you know that? And for the good of the world. Ephesians 2:10. In other words, we have good works in our spiritual DNA. God has given us a unique identity. Do you know what that is? The light and the salt of the world. God is not just using a good, beautiful phrase to describe who His children are. He says, "You are the light and salt of the world." God expects us to do good works in the world, like the inventor of light bulbs expects the bulbs to emit the light when plugged in. As God has created the lights in the universe, such as the sun and the moon, so has He created us to be the light to shine in our world that we are living in. You are the light of the world, the scripture says. Ponder on the passage, the phrase one more time, the light of the world. We are the light that the world needs, the light of the world that the world cannot live without. Imagine the earth without the sun. What's going to happen to us? It will remain in the complete darkness, wouldn't it? You don't want to live in such a place. I remember living in Michigan for several years back in the 1970s. You know, Michigan has a very long winter. It typically starts end of October and November for sure, and it stretches out all the way to April, May, and sometimes June. I remember one summer in June, they had a frost that killed a lot of vegetables, you know, growing. Anyway, they had a very long winter, and often the weather days is like very cloudy and overcast and gloomy and bleak. And I remember one time, for my curiosity, in the month of November, I counted how many sunny days we had. In November. November had 30 days. And guess how many days I had on the sunny days? Only one. And 29 days all overcast. And no wonder a lot of people living in Michigan, especially during the season of winter, they get depressed. It's very much overcast. Now, likewise, without us, the world would be a much gloomy place and overcast where people would live in complete darkness without the light of the world. Remember this, our good works are equal to God's glory. And that's why Jesus commands us in today's reading to do the good so that people may praise our Heavenly Father when they see our good works. Like you achieve something wonderful and marvelous and then it brings your parents glory and honor. I remember my own mother and her pride and joy when she saw her two sons get into the prestigious college in Korea. We didn't have to buy a huge gift. Just one thing made her so proud. Here's the reminder. Good works are good for us, but they are not about us. Rather, it's about God. They are for God's glory. And furthermore, I must point out this. Excuse me. Good works are not a condition for our salvation. We don't strive to do the good to be saved. On the contrary, no matter how morally we think we are, no matter how many times we do good, what is good for the people, good works alone will never get us into heaven. Theologically speaking, no human merits would guarantee our place before God's eternal presence. No one can boast about their own merits or goodness for their salvation before God. And only by God's grace, the scripture says, and only by Christ's merits of what he has done on the cross, combined with our faith, make us qualified for salvation. Now I want you to look at the Matthew 5:16, which is printed in your bulletin. It says, first of all, Jesus says, there are a couple of things worth noticing. The first one is that Jesus says, let your light shine. What does it tell you? It tells me that every one of us, old and young and male and female, is called to shine our own light. Let your light, not someone else's light. Are you a child of God? Then you have a light to shine because every child of God has light. Maybe some of us have bigger lights and others may have smaller ones, but all of us have our own lights. Let that light of yours, Jesus says, shine onto the people around you. That's your mission and that's your call. The second thing worth noticing here is that the verb to shine. In the Greek word is called lampsato, L-A-M-P-S-A-T-O, and that's where the English word lamp comes from, to shine. Now think of a light in Jesus' time. The area any small lamp could keep bright wasn't huge, as you could imagine. It was rather small area within a few feet from the lamp itself. If you put the lamp on the stand a little higher place, perhaps it was emitting the light enough for one small room. In the same way, each one of us is called to be the light and shine upon wherever we are. Not globally, but very much locally. Not like the sun, but rather in a small lamp that shines in the corner wherever it is. Let your light shine wherever you live or stand or walk around, day in, day out, at your home, at your school, at your workplace, at your church, and in your community. I want you to think with me now, what are the good works? What consists of good works? What are considered the good works? And there could be many, but use this criterion and you will go no wrong. Whatever you do and say, if it pleases the Lord and if it profits the people, it is a good work. Let me repeat. Whatever you do and say, if it pleases the Lord and if it profits the people, it is a good work. Anything that would make our Heavenly Father proud and pleased. And I'm going to give you a few examples taken from the Bible. These are considered good works. Number one, love your enemies. If you love your enemies, it's an excellent work. And if you do something good for your foes and adversaries, that's another good work. Forgiveness is another one. And working hard with your own hands is also a good thing, the scripture says, because it is not only an honest living, but also gives you something extra to share with the needy. Here's another one. Honor your father and mother. I'm not saying this because it's today's Mother's Day, but honor your mothers is excellent, good work in the sight of God. And also helping the orphans and the widows, that's another excellent good work. And also even the words of encouragement would count as good works. The list goes on. Whatever you do, whatever good you do, remember God's promise. He says, I will reward those who do good with glory, honor, and peace. I believe in God's promise. And I'm going to close my sermon with John Wesley's quote on good works. I'm sure some of you heard of this quote before. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Let me repeat. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. John Wesley, seems to me, he did all the good he could as long as he lived, even on the last day of his life on earth. You know what he did? He prearranged so that on the day of his funeral, he advised whoever is in charge of the funeral to hire 6 homeless men to carry his casket. You know, to carry the casket, you need 6 men. And at the end of the service, paid them, each and one of them, £1. We're talking about 1780s and 90s. £1 in England in those days, a huge sum of money. And John Wesley, he never met these 6 homeless men. But he says, I want them to be paid. In my humble opinion, Wesley lived a life that was pleasing to the Lord, very to the end of his life, the life of good works. May God help us live the same life as he did. Let's bow our heads and pray. Whenever we're dismayed to look at our world that is getting darker and darker, our hearts, many of us, frustrated, shocked, and how much more, Lord, your heart would be. I almost think that whenever something bad happens, God is asking and looking for, where are my children? The children of light. The light and the salt of the world. I believe you're looking for your children. And you expect us to shine. Let our light shine in the places where we are, in our words and in our actions. Thank you, Lord, for giving us and challenging us to do good works in our daily lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.